This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Friday Drive. I don't like your pauses.
You don't like my what?
They're too
pauses.
Long.
Oh, just get on with it. Yeah, I'm very arty.
No, really? Did you paint?
Yeah, I did. I was into and creating things.
I'm not talking about weeing in the snow. I'm saying, did you paint? Did you create stuff?
I painted a bit. You like to paint, don't you?
I love to paint.
Right.
I love to paint.
Who's one of your favourite artists?
Charles. Charles. That's all we're going to say. Charles.
Charles is your favourite painter?
Yeah, Charles. Blackman.
Charles Blackman.
I just call him Charles. Him and I, we're on first name basis
okay.
now.
Okay. An amazing painter.
I know.
An amazing painter. Mm. Anyone else?
No, that'll do.
What about some French?
I can only
French...
afford one Charles.
What about some
I haven't got anything. I went to the Louvre.
Did you?
I went to the Louvre. It was great.
Yeah, did you see the Mona
Kids
Lisa?
Kids screamed the whole time. Yeah, 30 people back.
Yeah.
It's the size of a postage stamp. Oh, I was so pissed off.
Yeah, and there's even a barrier in front
there's
of it now,
There's a barrier
isn't
in 30 people.
Yeah. But what about here in Melbourne? You're like, do you ever go to the NGV very often?
All the
time. Was that
time.
A nice little segue?
I was trying to work you into it, but you got a bit boring. We did. We headed down to the NGV.
We did.
About a week and a half ago.
No, it was only last week.
Oh, it feels like years ago. Mm. Anyway, we popped down for the Monet.
Yes.
A schmooze night, because we like a bit of schmooze.
We do. And and Monet is here for the winter Melbourne Winter Masterpieces.
Exactly.
And it's at Monet's garden.
So we've brought in today... because we got nothing. We got no information except the bits of paper in front of us. Sophie Matheson.
Yep.
She's the International Art Curator.
Mm.
Imagine putting that on your CV. And Emily Sidden, she's the Program Coordinator.
And we know Emily because she's been in here before. Hello, girls.
Hello.
Hello. Now, we're sorry about our inability to name artists and so forth. Are you those people that, you know, you're sitting around the dinner table and go, oh, yes, I saw that painting in the Louvre. You are, aren't you?
Pass.
Pass.
You are. But I wish I was. I really wish I'd had access and seen this amazing art throughout the world. I get to the NGV as often as I can, and I know I get to see snapshots of it, and Monet with the exhibition is just superb. You know, was it 52, 53 pieces?
No, it's 62.
62.
Oh,
so
you did your
close.
Homework so well, Sue.
Mm-hmm. But you must be in the incredible position to see the most amazing art.
Yes, and it's fantastic to see it coming out of boxes and off aeroplanes and to see it lying flat on conservation labs' tables. To see art on an everyday basis is amazing.
You're very lucky.
So what made you get interested in art? You know, like, where did it come from? Were you, you know, like Sue was going on about me with, did I paint when I was a little kid? I didn't. You know, like, where did your interest for art come from?
That's a very peculiar reason with me. My father studied art history, and he bought from a little art bookshop in Little Collins Street when he was a student these postcards of paintings, reproductions from Norman Robb's bookshop in Little Collins Street. And he bought hundreds when he was a student before I was born.
So one by one he was buying
Yes,
them.
Or maybe by the handful, yeah. But gorgeous little reproductions. And he just let us play with them like playing cards as kids. And I made huge mosaics all over our walls with them and actually learned what they all were.
Maybe if I put the kids' timetables all over the wall, that might help them.
might help them learn their time. And so that you know, encouraged you to then follow it through, you know, like in your high school days, or?
Yes, although I went to a school that didn't put a lot of emphasis on art, but as soon as I got to uni, I made up for lost time.
And so you studied art at
university? I studied history of art, and then I supplemented my income by becoming a conservation picture framer.
Right.
And so I saw a lot of beautiful things like Japanese woodblocks come through, and I handled them. One way or another, I always kept a lot of contact with art.
Yeah, because the one thing that I love about each time we have somebody in from the NGV is how knowledgeable they are and their passion for art. It's it's wonderful. It must be pretty exciting working around the office with everyone's passion.
I'm going to pop down and see the Monet now.
Yeah,
they can do that.
Well, we've got a lot of artists actually on our work on our staff.
Right. Okay. So Emily, how did you get involved? You know, what was your interest?
I mean, my pathway. I've had been drawing on the walls since I could walk. So I, you know, long before I realised I had such an interest in art, I was creating quite extravagant, I'd call them installation pieces using shampoo and crayons and mum's makeup down the walls. Yeah. So
naughty, I call that.
But instead of getting into too much trouble, I was given whiteboards and blackboards, and from there, I guess, just a love of drawing and a love of art really grew. I've had a long love affair with art and music quite equally, and so it's quite wonderful in my job in programs, and that I get to do both on quite a regular basis and explore all the creative fields that extend beyond visual arts as well.
Yeah. Now, of all the international artists, you know, like through history, Monet would probably have to be one of the big in the big five, I suppose, wouldn't he? As in popular and people knowing what a Monet is. You know, like we all know the water lilies and the beautiful colours that he uses, and the sheer fact of his wonderful garden that he created to actually paint Monet. Would you agree with that?
Yes, he really blew a hole in art in the late 19th century. He transformed it. He and his generation, but he was a main driver introducing the effect of real natural light, using white, throwing away those sort of fussy effects and varnishes and dark brown grounds and things. And he really created a fresh way of representing the world, one that could really rival photography to capture the spontaneity of a changing world.
Yeah. What I love about the exhibition, Susan, and if you go to our Facebook page at present, you'll see Susan walking through foyers, and
we got told off.
We got told off, but we mended our ways. The lovely thing is the sheer fact that you have this experience that you're walking into the garden. Because there's the brick wall that you walk past, which is wonderful, and we were told that it's actually a brick wall in Richmond that they took the photo of. But it gives you
will
that.
Will you stop obsessing about the wall?
I know. I just
for
love
for 30 that. Minutes. You just told me about the wall.
And anyway, and you're like, and then you get in, and it's just so wonderful what this man created, because he created his garden so he could paint, didn't he? Which is the most fascinating thing, where, you know, like, yes, he did paint other scenery as well, and he went to England and painted there, but creating your own garden so that's what you can
he's
paint.
He's just capturing the market, David.
Yeah.
It's all he's doing.
And the sheer fact that he also then had the little boat that he'd row out and then just sit in the middle of the lake and paint it.
How the hell he got that easel to stand up, I've got no idea. But we're going to catch up all about the history of Monet over the next hour, and we've got some amazing giveaways.
Yes. Now why don't we tell people if they want to go in for it now?
No.
Joy 94.9.
Friday Drive on Joy 94.9 with David and Sue. Kashmir said, yes, the last is a horse. She died, of course, because we were talking about the nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
And yes, the animals do go up in size every time. See, everybody knows that, David. Craig, the funeral director, said, hi, Sue and David. He had rats and mice in the roof. He said, get Ratsack. So he wants us to poison him.
Right.
That's what a funeral director would say, isn't
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just poison him.
Yeah, he said, I see dead people.
Kill the little bastards, he says. James said, hello. Oi, hoi, he said. I hope Sue still loves her snow globe. Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous one.
And what was
I'm
it
I'm jealous. The Great Wall of China.
Exactly. He said, this weekend is like the most important weekend in, like, the cultural calendar. It's Eurovision.
Yes. Sunday night.
We will not give any spoilers.
No.
We don't believe in spoilers.
We know who won.
I don't.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Now, David, we are talking Monet.
Yes, we are.
With Sophie and Emily from NGV.
Yep.
Now, I bought this book and we're going to give it away.
Oh, it's the most beautiful book. It's the... Describe it. come on, girls, tell us some about the beautiful book that you can get. Who knows about it?
It's big.
Yes, the catalogue is absolutely full of wonderful colour reproductions, glossy of everything that's in the exhibition, but it also has essays, fantastic essays about Monet and the garden, and about the Australian artists who were influenced by Monet, even in as early as the 1880s. And it has some fantastic little thematic sections: Monet and the sea, Monet and his young family, Monet and the Japanese bridge, for example.
It's beautiful. My mother loves it because she got it for Mother's Day, David.
She did.
We're giving it away because I was going to give it to her, and you go, oh, Mother's Day, what a great idea. And I went, it is a good idea. Anyway, it is Monet's traces the evolution of the artist's iconic home at Giverny. Do you have to say Giverny? In northern France, his private life, his intrepid travels abroad, and the paintings of his garden paradise. If you would like to go into the draw for that, David,
yeah,
you can do so on 0427.
Joy 949.
Exactly. Pop in your membership number. You kind of won a prize in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
You can also email onair@joy.org.au.
Yep. And just say Monet.
Monet book.
Monet.
Monet book.
Monet book.
Monet book.
Monet book. Now, one of the things I love about the exhibition, when you actually get inside after your lovely journey, past the wall, you immediately don't get the water lilies and whatever. There's some portraits that are in the front room, and then the next room you go into some of his wonderful landscape, which is a nice little introduction, isn't it?
Yes, this is the introduction to Monet, who has just come back from England and Holland, where he sat out the Franco-Prussian War. So when he gets back to Paris in 1871, he gets back to a war-torn and exhausted Paris, and there's not much joy there, quite frankly, and he and other artists head out of Paris and look for respite in nature, which... You know, it's on the boundaries of the old city, but the new train lines take you out into nature very, very quickly. Everyone right. can afford it. And they can take out there with them the new portable paints, synthetic paints in tubes, so they can paint outside, the ready-stretched canvases, the new paint brushes, everything designed to be portable. And they don't need a conventional studio anymore. They can just... paint in the open air.
Now, a lot of the artists at the time got together, and everybody knew everybody. So who did Monet hang with?
Oh, well, Monet was one of those figures that had friends of every the older generation and the younger. The older generation, he hung out with Boudin, great sea painter, and Courbet, a wonderful and very, very left-wing radical painter of his own generation. He hung out with Manet and with Renoir and Sisley, Berthe Morisot, female painters.
Imagine his dinner parties, Dave.
Oh, yes.
He does look like me. He looks a bit mean.
Oh, no, I think he looks like a lovely... Was he... What was his temperament like?
I think he was a very, very loving father.
See, I told you.
An absolute bastard.
But I think he was tetchy and self-doubting about his work. I think he drove himself very, very hard.
Yeah.
But once he stopped work, he was the larger-than-life father and grandfather figure who was frequently sending home from his painting trips bantams for the children, or birds that he'd found en route, delightful surprises, baskets of fruit, seafood from the coast, things like that, always sending nice little surprises to the family by the train line. So he just, I guess he gave them to the train guard, and they were delivered to Giverny.
Yeah.
Oh, Giverny, there. I knew it was something like that.
Okay, well, there's so much. Again, I just want to touch on before we get to his garden in the exhibition is the wonderful painting of in London with Big Ben and all that.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Friday Drive with David and Sue, and we're talking everything Monet with wonderful people from the NGV. Andy, the newsreader, is here. Andy, and you're an artist in your own right as well, aren't you?
I am.
And you've got an exhibition coming up in a couple of months'
in
time?
In July, early July.
Right, and we'll be hearing a lot more about it on Joy as the time goes on.
Yes, in the weeks to come, there'll be some more information. Okay.
Have you done what I've asked you to do yet about that?
Maybe.
You haven't, have you? Give us the headlines.
All right. It's 14 degrees in Melbourne, coming up in the news at 6 o'clock. A truck that was dangling precariously from Melbourne's Balti Bridge after an early morning collision has been removed using several cranes and a remote-controlled drone.
Was the person injured? Were they...
Well, he fell from the cabin of the truck. I think they said it was...
So he's not dead or anything?
No. Badly injured.
Badly injured.
Fell 20 metres onto the road below.
Whoa.
Yeah, he should have. I don't know if he was wearing a seatbelt or what.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But in other news, experts say a federal government investment of $18.5 million into cancer research will halve the number of men dying from prostate cancer within 20 years. Prime Minister Julia Gillard says a coalition government will have to make more budget cuts to cover a $26 billion shortfall in revenue. A major business group has pledged to lobby a coalition government to scrap its ill-conceived paid parental scheme, which it says will cost large companies in excess of $100 million a year each. Following the second set of semi-finals tonight, Finland's Eurovision entrant found herself with a place in the final following her performance of her pro-equal marriage song, which included a lesbian kiss.
Oh!
A horse in southwest Queensland has contracted the rare bat-borne Lyssa virus for the first time in Australia. And in Joy Sport, AFL Chief Executive Andrew Demetriou claims their controversial illicit drugs policy helped save the lives of two players. Mid-City Melbourne, it's 14 degrees. I'm Andy Kay. I'll be back with the full news bulletin at 6 o'clock right here on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Andy. Now, talking about Eurovision, my big prediction, what?
No spoiler.
No, it's no spoiler. But it's my idea that Eurovision will open, because it's in Sweden, it will open with them playing Waterloo, the video of them playing Waterloo, ABBA's Waterloo, and then the screen will come up and the four of them will walk out, they'll say hello to everyone, and then the show will get on.
No, you got more chance of the Bee Gees turning up than that happening.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, lots of entries are coming in.
We have Daryl would like the Monet book.
Of course he would.
Pete is capitals with four exclamations, so he really
Please.
Wants the book. Gavin said, love Monet book, house full of his work, Prince Pity. The book is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
Jody said, Monet book, thank you for a great show. Driving me home and enjoying the trek. Thanks to Joy. That's
Thanks,
really
Jody.
Nice of you. Hi, David and Sue. I enjoyed the trip to training tonight. David, I can't believe you don't know that song about the old lady.
I know. I'm surprised too.
Can I go into the drawer for the Monet, please? It'd be a good gift for my hideous sister. Then I don't have to spend any money on her. It says Talia. Good on you, Talia.
You're not going to want to give it away.
And no kisses from Talia. And Betty would also like the Monet book.
Joy 94.9.
Buddy, drop on Joy 94.9. Is that close?
Oh,
Joy
94.9. You're hysterical. Yeah. You
I
should get your own radio
anything.
Show.
And I'm funnier than you. Yeah. I used to have my own radio show.
You did?
It was called Hear Me Roar. Remember that?
Arr.
I used to call Hear Me Snore.
Yeah.
Even I was asleep at the end of it. Meredith, she said she doesn't want the Monet book. Which is really nice of her to say, but she does want to say that she loves our show.
Oh, thank you.
So that's just as good.
Oh, well, that's nice that you're connecting with us. Thank you so much.
Connecting.
Now we've got Sophie and Emily here from the NGV, of course, because we're talking everything Monet.
And I want to know the human side of Monet.
He
got married more than once, didn't he?
Yes, he married a young woman, Camille, who absolutely inspired him. She had beautiful hats and she was the model for many of those painters around him. And she, by about 1878, she was becoming quite unwell. She'd had a little boy and then she got pregnant with a second little boy, but she seemed to have had some, maybe it was ovarian cancer, something abdominal and or whatever, gynecological, but she just died slowly and it was very, very sad, and it coincided with a lot of poverty for Monet because there'd been the financial crash and his patrons had gone bust or were on the brink of financial ruin, and one of those was his main patron, Ernest Hochschild. who had six children and a wife, Alice. And they were such friends that Monet suggested that they all pool their resources. They basically live in a big house together. And so the Ochardays, they had been very, very wealthy, and they just up stumps and came across to Normandy and lived in a house in Verteuil with Monet and his ailing wife and two little boys. And Alice and Camille became friends, and Alice nursed Camille.
How do you know? You're not even looking on a sheet.
And and well, it's very compelling sort of human stuff, isn't it? And Alice and Monet had become close. And eventually Ernest realised probably that he was sort of surplus to the family's requirements, because he couldn't earn money. He had to he was in fear of being pursued for debt, and he makes himself scarce. And very soon Alice and Monet have really sort of knitted themselves into one big unit, with this eight children. Monet feels that he has to be able to earn enough money to keep this former society woman in some sort of respectable circumstances. She's a Catholic, and he really goes out looking for a big house that can hold them all, where he can paint, and where he needs to work very, very hard so that he can paint. He needs to be able to paint enough to create a sort of whole sort of exhibitions worth of paintings at once. And he does. He really busts his gut painting in the 1880s and really makes headway. By 1889, he's had some wonderful exhibitions, and by 1890, he's able to rent the house that he found in 1883, this beautiful old farmhouse.
And that's the house long that we gardens. See.
Yes. It's called Le Pressoir. It was in an old cider press. There's a cider press in this old farmhouse, so Pressoir, the cider, the press, and had big sloping garden. He, of course, is not interested in the vegetables, and so he has the vegetables moved down to a plot at the end of the village, and he makes it all over for garden, for flowers, and for hothouses.
Okay. The exhibition, we're going to move on into where all the, the garden features heavily. It's in his later, a lot of it's from his later life, when he had cataracts and wasn't seeing quite as well. And so therefore the colours get a little bit more dramatic, and the brush strokes are a little bit more fierce. And is it anger a little bit coming out, or is it just that he can't paint with that sort of detail anymore?
Well, a lot of things happen as he gets old. By 1912, when he's diagnosed with cataracts, he's just recently lost his wife. And then a couple of years later, of course, the First World War is breaking out. And he's getting old, and he's feeling lonely, and he's feeling a bit frail because he knows his eyesight's in jeopardy. And family and friends really urge him to take up painting again. He paints very beautiful, large paintings of his water lily garden, the second garden that he builds after 1893. These are beautiful paintings with no horizon, with really abstract effects, where down is up and up is down, and floating water lilies, floating like sort of spaceships, and waving
and the
grass
reflection and of the willow trees in the water as well.
And his style is completely transformed, so huge long brush strokes, and he's using beautiful colour. But this really gets going by about 1914. But by about 1918, the cataracts have thickened a lot, and he can see only a little bit of true colour. He's getting distorted perceptions, so the thickening cataracts cause a yellowing of his vision. But there are some times when he can't see. When he can only see yellows and reds, and other times when he can only see blues and greens. Mm. These are known conditions of cataracts advancing. And he finally has surgery in 1922, three lots of surgery. And it's a tricky process, but he finally gets the colour perception back. But he's been through a very frightening period. Strangely enough, though, that period coincides with some of his most wonderful liberated painting. And he was using colour very beautifully for much of
of that period because he was working from memory. He kept his paintings, his paints meticulously labelled and in a very rigid order on his palette. So he could remember about using greens here and purples there and yellows there and pinks there. But there are other paintings in the last room which show him just painting what he sees, which is almost a sort of a dense spaghetti of green brush strokes as he paints his Japanese bridge, thickets of orange and red. It's quite startling. It's not what you think of Monet as.
No, it's not. I got a bit shocked after listening to David about the wall for half an hour.
Now, last chance to win this beautiful book, The Catalogue.
And then we're going to announce something else special.
Yes, we are.
We're full of it tonight, aren't we?
We are. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Friday Drive. You're with David and Sue, and we're talking everything Monet.
Because we got over our rats, and there was an old lady who swallowed her.
A shoe.
Fly.
Oh, fly.
I don't know why she swallowed her.
A shoe.
Fly.
Oh.
Next line.
Because she's going to die?
Oh, you're useless. Cupcake Kylie from Reza's checked in.
Hello.
Just wanted to say thanks for my Wild Night CD. She won the other week.
Oh, it's a good CD.
She's loving it so much by studying this afternoon. She's missed half of our show.
Hey, come on. That's not good enough.
Not.
We might have to dump her. Unless she makes us more cupcakes.
I remember you used to do that in school, in high school.
Dump kids.
You get a no, go, you're dumped. Or so-and-so dumped you. You didn't do that?
Yeah, of course I did.
You never had a boyfriend. Did you ever have a girlfriend if you didn't have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I had girlfriends
school.
Yeah.
Got it wrong, didn't you? Mm. Jackie, she says, Mr. Gentleman, Monet book.
Oh.
Just got in time.
Just,
however.
Yes. We've got a winner.
We have a winner. It's Pete.
Oh.
Pete, from memory, he had all the exclamation marks. Congratulations.
Oh. Okay.
But fear not.
Fear not.
Why not, David?
We have more.
We have more. It's not steak knives. It's a double pass.
Oh, what to?
To Monet's Garden.
Wow.
Down there at the NGV. And we've been talking about it for the last hour.
Yes.
So if you'd like to get down there, here is your chance. And to win it, all you need to do is text in on 0427.
Joy.
949. What's your membership number in, what is it? Carter won a prize in the
last
2 weeks.
Yep.
You can email on air.
At joy.
.org.au. Well done.
And if you want to check out some of the photos of us at the exhibition, go to our Facebook page, which is David and Sue Joy Drive. And I've just been putting them up, new ones as we've been here tonight. And I have to refresh it to get the new photos coming up.
Nobody cares
it.
That you have to refresh it.
Well, true. Now, come on. We're going to talk
now,
to Emily.
I'm going to talk to Emily. This is the part I like because it's all well and good. And you go and you see the paintings and, you know, and you do whatever and then you go. But there's actually stuff at NGV so you can find out more information. There's evenings and there's lectures. And are you part of the group that puts that together?
I am, yes. I'm part of a wider public programs team and we really just try and bring the show to the public and trying to as well find different themes or different angles that, you know, people might find interesting about the show as well.
All right. Now, you've had a symposium, but there's a free film series. Now, so what is that? So you can get into the gallery and are there films showing everywhere or is it in one place? Is it parts of films?
So we have our own auditorium, the Clemenger Auditorium on the ground level. And so we'll be having a free film series. It's called Capturing Paris. So it's a whole bunch of French films and also the favourites like, you know, Amelie and Moulin Rouge and Paris-inspired
The weird Woody Allen one. Is the weird Woody Allen one
Midnight in Paris. It is indeed.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's in there.
That's fascinating. Have you seen the film?
Ah, it's weird. It's weird. I'm sorry, but it is weird. There's also a new event called Friday Nights at Monet. Tell us more about that one.
Yes, so we're very excited about this event. It's a brand new program that we're launching. So it's kicking off from the 5th of July, so the last 10 Fridays of the show. And so basically you can come and see the exhibition after hours. You can have a glass of wine or two or three. And we've got a pretty stellar lineup of bands and DJs as well that you can enjoy for free too.
Fantastic.
So, I like that.
Yes.
That's Friday nights.
Friday nights. Last 10 Friday nights of the show.
Okay, we might do that one Friday night after here.
Might.
Yeah, we will.
Short course information. So this is where you can actually get into the history of Monet and the history, I guess, of the broader artists throughout time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really focusing on the art and history of garden design, of course, inspired by Monet. And our wonderful Sophie is actually presenting a paper as part of this as well.
Wow.
Local academics.
After what she's told us tonight, it will be pretty informed.
It will be amazing.
Informed, yeah. Say,
she won't even need the paper. She'll just roll it off. Now, there's an introductory talk, which is more on Monet.
Yeah, that's I guess, aimed at people who are really looking for an overview of the exhibition or an introduction to the exhibition before they go and see the show. So that's on weekends at 12:30.
Nice. And, of course, there's a high tea.
There is a high tea in the Great Hall, so if you want to have some scones and tea and get a little bit fancy, then that's also on offer as well.
What I love is that when you come out of the exhibition, because you've probably spent an hour or two in the exhibition, and you come out and there's the beautiful kitchen cafe.
And what's surrounding on the walls?
Brick wall. and it's just so gorgeous because it's captured the feeling of Monet's kitchen, isn't it? It's fantastic. Now, we actually haven't mentioned about when you finish looking at the wonderful exhibition and you walk into this last room, should we tell people or should it be a surprise?
No.
It's a gorgeous surprise right at the end.
And there's a surprise at the start, which is actually
the
almost
wall.
Not the pre-wall.
Pre-wall.
When you walk in, you put your hands on the water wall.
My God.
And you walk in. I'm not going to say what it is, but it is absolutely brilliant.
We'll put that up on our Facebook page too.
What's the first name of the person that designed the thing in the middle that we're not going to talk about?
Celeste.
Celeste,
an
unpronounceable surname. Now, but we are giving away, David, don't forget, the double pass to Monet's Garden down there at NGV.
Yes.
So go in for that now.
And it's a must. Every year, thank you, NGV, for putting on the most wonderful exhibitions. I just love this time of the year because you do. And it's the whole experience, isn't it? It's the whole experience of going to the NGV, of course, to see the wonderful paintings that are there. But you give us a great experience and this wonderful brick wall.
I knew you'd say that.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.